Good morning, church. Sorry, I got a lot of books today. Gotta be well prepared, you know. Gotta, you know, do what all is happening. So how are you guys doing this morning? Woo! Are you guys excited for the last day of 2023? Nobody? Okay, sweet. Just me. That's fine. Ever take a good Christmas? You know, something I realized about Christmas this year is that I got to experience the peak craziness of Christmas, is that is doing Christmas with a two-year-old. It's a bit insane and crazy, but also awesome. So, you guys get to hear from me this morning, which is really awesome and excited. You know, I hope you guys like me. If you don't know me, I'm Spencer. I am our youth pastor here at Gateway. And, you know, this morning is just a little one-off message. Darian gave me complete control. So if it's a bad, you blame him. Sorry, I had to make a little joke there. So anyway, Darian's asked me if I'd be willing to do this one-off message and that I'd be given the free reins, you know, immediately there was like a couple thoughts that went into my brain. I was like, oh, I could preach on this and preach on this. But, you know, as we should be doing when we're preparing messages and things like this, I decided to spend some time in prayer and worship with God. So I asked him, hey, God, what are we doing on this Sunday? What are we preaching about? What are you calling us to? You know, and so I was spending some time in listening prayer, and I got this, like, you know, sometimes you hear God, like, say things. Sometimes you get, like, verses. When I spent time listening to prayer, all I heard was this, like, silent, still breath. Just this breath. I was like, okay. And I had to kind of break that down, and eventually I got to this idea of, oh, God breathed. You know, and then that kind of broke down further into talking about this lovely book. So this morning, we're going to be talking about his word, talking about his scripture, talking about this amazing book. And, you know, I got really excited when God revealed that that would be my message this morning, that I'd be preaching about God breathing, that God breathed his word into this page, into these pages, into this book, that every word written is his. And, you know, at Gateway, we have a deep, profound respect for this book and reverence for it and respect for it. You know, there's many reasons why we think this book is incredible, but most of all because we truly believe here that every word written in this book is the very word of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is God's word. Not some of it, all of it. Every last word of it. And it's so exciting because, you know, this book, this holy scripture, this Bible is more than just a book of stories. You know, so often, especially when I was a kid, that's what I viewed the Bible as. It was just a collection of stories that were pretty fun. You know, David and Goliath, you know, Noah's Ark, you know, all those fun stories that boys love as kids. That's what I viewed the Bible as. It was just this collection of stories. You know, as I get older and more mature and more wise, I have learned new things. And that the Bible is so much more than just a collection of stories. You know, the Bible can equip us. It can prepare us for what's coming next. The Bible can be a comfort for us in times of trouble. The Bible can help us encounter the living God. The Bible can help us receive guidance for our lives. The Bible can help us see us as God sees us. You know, the Bible can help us create our own faith and obedience onto him. And lastly, which is I think is a little bit of an unpopular one, the Bible can bring about correction. Ooh. There's so much that this book can do, and there are so many different directions I could go today. So what's the goal for today? What's my plan? My plan is to simply this for today, is to bring an understanding that this is more than just a collection of books and stories. It is a complicated, unique book that has divine power. And not only that it is the living, breathing word of God. Plain and simple. So this morning, we're going to turn to 1 Timothy, if I can find it in my Bible. Oh, there it is. Oh, no, 2 Timothy. I misspoke. Okay. 2 Timothy 3. There we go. 14 through 17, which reads this. If I can. There. Yet you must continue to advance in strength with the truth wrapped around your heart, being assured by God that he's the one who has truly taught you all these things. Remember that you were taught from your childhood from the holy scrolls, which can impart to you the wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the anointed one. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction, correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfect, prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. Ooh, there's a lot there, right? There's so much here when we're looking at this. And, you know, something that I have begun to be challenged on is this idea of, is this truly wrapped around my heart? Is the scriptures something that is truly embedded in who I am? And, you know, this last couple of years has been a really fun yet challenging time for me. Because, you know, sometimes there's things that the Bible says that we struggle with, right? You read something, you're like, oh, I don't know if I like that. I'm gonna be honest. I've had that. There's been pages that I've written scripture and I've been like, God, I don't know about that one. We all have that. And I remember a couple years ago, there was one of those things that I was struggling with. One of those topics that I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, God. Am I misreading this? Am I misinterpreting it? And, you know, and I spent some time in prayer with God. And he basically did this lovely thing to me, which has been a fun journey for me. And he just said, he basically kicked me in the butt, is how I like to put it. Is that God is basically like, who are you to decide what is truth? Whew. And in that moment, I was like, okay, God, for this next year, I'm not going to question your truth. For this next year, everything I read, I will take as your ultimate truth. And I will live that out. And I did that. And it radically changed my life. It radically changed how I interact with his word. But more importantly, it radically changed how I encounter him. Because all of a sudden, I wasn't doubting the words he said. I was believing them wholeheartedly. Every last one. It didn't matter the struggle I had with them. It just said, okay, no, this is truth. I can't think that I know more than God because I don't. I just have to believe what he says. And through that, you know, I got to learn this idea that everything has been brought through God. For that everything is God breathed, that it empowered me. It brought correction. It gave me strength to make the right decision to lead me deeper into a path of godliness. Plain and simple. This beautiful path of godliness. That I just really love. Because the Bible is just full of these rich things. And you know, here at Gateway, I think we talk a lot about context. You know, me and Darian love talking about context. And so does everyone else who's up on the stage. Because context is really important. And I'll read this passage in James. And we'll get to the context of it in a second. So James 1, 22 through 25 says this. But be doers of the word and not mere hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and going away immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into a perfect law in the law of liberty and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, will be blessed in their doing. So I know sometimes you read scripture and you go, this is silly. You know, because like I read this and I'm like, this is silly. Because I'm like, who would ever look themselves in the mirror and then immediately forget what they look like? Right? Because like, I don't know about you guys, like I think I have like 5 mirrors in my home. You know, we got like one in the kitchen, we got, no, not the kitchen, like one in the bathroom, we got one in our bedroom. Like you just got mirrors everywhere. Right? So this doesn't make a lot of sense to us. So I decided to do a little bit of context. So there's this Bible that, you know, a lot of us on staff like to use. It's called the Cultural Background Study Bible. It's a really great book. And the reason why I love it so much is because it does something really powerful. You know, something that I think we often forget when we read scripture, because often when we read scripture, we try to immediately apply it to our lives, right? I read this, it goes, this is immediately for me. So something we kind of need to remember is that the Bible is written for us, not to us. Does that make sense? Because the thing is, the Bible is written, you know, some of these words were written 12,000 years ago. Right? So a long time ago, they were written to a group of people, mostly in Israel, for that time period. They weren't written to Edmonton, Alberta, 2023, Gateway. Right? They weren't written directly to us, but they can still apply to our lives. So for us to have a deeper understanding of what the scriptures is, we need to look at the cultural background of these scriptures. So that being said, before I get into the cultural background of the scripture, you know, this is just an extra copy I have lying around. So I wanted to give it away today. Is it anyone's birthday? Anybody have a birthday? No? Anybody's birthday coming up in the next week? Anybody? Okay. Did somebody raise their hand? Did I see a hand? No? Okay. If it's your birthday this week, come up to the front and grab the Bible. Just come running up. Come on. I'll stand here. I'll wait. Come on. I don't want to be here all day. Do I see someone coming down? I see someone coming down. Perfect. Yay. Thank you. This is for you. It's a great Bible. It's a great resource. I hope you really enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Merry Christmas. So, I don't know. It's a week late, but it's fine. So anyway, so when we're reading this James passage, often when I read scriptures and I think this seems silly to me, I immediately go into, okay, what's the cultural background? So, in this time period, when this was being written, here's the thing that will blow all of your minds. Mirrors weren't common. If you had a mirror, you were rich. Okay, so let that be known, that most people didn't have 7 mirrors in their homes. Most people didn't even have one. So when James is talking about those who look in a mirror and immediately forget what they look like, James was actually talking about a very common thing. It was very common for you, if you came across a mirror, someone who had never looked at their face or not regularly, it'd be very common for you to look in the mirror and turn away and immediately forget what you look like. Because you weren't looking in a mirror every day. You weren't like studying your nose and your eye color and all these things. So what James is actually getting at is not this idea that, oh, don't be like those people who immediately forget they look like. But he's actually getting at this idea that to know and do scripture, to not just to read it but be doers, takes work. It takes effort. It's not just something that I'm like, okay, I'm going to open this book, I'm going to read it. Oh, that's easy. I'll go do it. That's not what James is getting at. He's getting at is this idea that to be a doer of the word takes practice. It actually takes knowing this book more than just reading it. It means that when you open that mirror or open the scripture and read it, you're studying it. You're going depth. You're actually saying, okay, what does this actually mean? You're studying your face. You're like, okay, I have green eyes. Okay, I got brown hair. My nose is straight. You know, I got weird lips. You know, I got a beard today. You know, whatever it is, you're studying your face to try to remember it the next time you come across a mirror. So what James is saying is that every time you open this book to be studying it. And yeah, that takes work. That takes effort. But it is work worth doing. See, that's what James is getting at. And what I love about this is that also back then, because it would have been very common for you to come across a mirror and then like months later come across a mirror, right? So if we're really doing this word, this work, and we're doing it, the idea of it is the next time you came across that mirror, you would be different. Because the more we do this word, the more we become like Jesus, the more we're changed, the more our appearance changes spiritually. So James is getting at is this idea that not only should we be studying our face and studying the word, but knowing that each time you come across the mirror, you should be slowly changing into Jesus. Slowly changing as you dive deep into this word. Right? Do we get the power behind that and get the intensity behind that? And that it's not just this silly passage of like, who would forget what they look like, but actually talking about what does it mean to dig deep? What does it mean to dig truly deep into the word? So I want to read this next passage in Hebrews. It's this really interesting one, I think. Sorry. Only got two hands. Sometimes I wish I had more. I'm just being honest. Okay, so Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 says this. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of one to whom must render an account. That's also incredible. So one thing is understanding is that when we pick up this word, because this word is alive and active, it's not just words on a page. It's able to know our intent behind reading these words. So often something I ask myself every time I open my Bible, what is my purpose here? What is my intention? Is it good? Is it holy? Or do I need to do a double check? And the reason I do this, and I do this every time I open my Bible, is because when I was in Bible school, you know, when I was like 21, entered my first year, I thought I was the top dog. I thought I knew everything. As every first-year Bible student does, and then they get knocked down a peg, and it's good for them. But I remember my first year, there was another guy who was, like, really a know-it-all, and it bothered me so much. And I remember we were having an argument, because first years love to have arguments in the hallway for some reason. And we were having an argument, and he said something that in my heart, I was like, that's wrong. That's wrong. I'm going to go home. I'm going to prove him wrong. And I went to my Bible, and I'm like, I'm going to bring correction and reproof to him, and I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to find it. And for the life of me, guys, I could not find the scripture to prove him wrong. I, like, read my Bible for, like, an hour and a half, and I could not find it. And I remember feeling so frustrated. I was like, okay, whatever. I know it's there, but I'll leave it. I'll drop it. And then, like, 2 months later, I was reading my Bible, and then I found it. And I was like, God, why didn't you show it to me in that moment when I needed it? And God said, because you weren't trying to bring correction. You were trying to prove that you were smarter. I was like, oh. So now, when I read God's word, I look at my heart. And I say, God, what is my intention here? Is it for me to get smarter, or is it for me to encounter God? Is it for me to grow? Is it for me to bring reproof among myself? If I am trying to bring correction to somebody, is it because I truly love them? Or is it just me trying to stroke my own ego to say I'm smarter than you? We often need to look at how we're reading this book because this book is holy. It is the very word of God. In some ways, this is the revelation of who God is. Not some ways. It is the revelation of who God is. It is how God speaks to us. So when I open it with reverence and care, knowing that when I open it, there is no hidden aspect about myself hidden from God. That when I open this book, God sees my very intention, my very soul. It says that the Holy Scriptures split soul from spirit, bone from marrow. Both the physical and the spiritual are not hidden from God. They are made known to him as soon as we open this book and start reading his word. So, you know, I want it to be known that this book is something I have great reverence for, great respect for. You know, a book that I truly care about, a book that I not only just read because it's interesting and fun, but because it's a book that is living and breathing. It is not merely just a book I open on my bedside table when I want a good read. You know, it's more than the comics that I read when I was in junior high. Well, let's be honest, now still. But it is a book that has a lasting impact on my life. You know, before Christmas, I was like, I think a month and a half ago, me, Joy, and Kat went up to Lake Louise for this ordination process. So we're getting ordained. It's a fun thing. And during one of the sessions, they kind of did this exercise of like where you wrote down the things you would hope that people would say about you. The things that you would hope that as you pass from the next life that they would say about you. And you know, I remember I sat there for a good minute and I couldn't think of anything. Being like, that's frustrating. But then eventually I came to this idea, which is said in Romans 1, which I just love. So Romans 1, 16 through 17 says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power, unleashing in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, then the people everywhere. The gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living faith. This is what the scripture means when it says, we are right with God through life-giving faith. I want to focus on this first part for a brief second. Because this is what God can reveal to me, is that when I pass on, this is all I want people to be able to say about me, is that he was not ashamed of the wonderful message of God's gospel. That's all I want. That's all I care about. Is that I am not ashamed of this book, that I give it reverence and respect. That when I read this book, I hope that it brings me peace, that it gives me guidance in my times of trouble, that it brings correction when needed. That I would never be afraid to talk about this book, that I would never be afraid to dig deep into this book, that I would always have respect for it, that I would never, ever be ashamed of it. That's all that I desire. That's all that I want out of this life, is that when I pass on to the next, that my children and maybe one day my grandchildren would say, Spencer was not ashamed of God's gospel. Spencer was not ashamed of God's word. You know, we're entering into a new year, 2024, which seems insane that we're entering into 2024. But I have a bit of a challenge for you guys today. This book is truly life-changing. and that when we open it, we have access to the living God. As that when I read these words on a page, I'm not necessarily reading the words that were written by Moses or by John or by Matthew or by Paul, but I'm reading the very words of God. That's kind of crazy that we have access to God, for a lot of us, on our phones. We can access God by opening an app on our phone. How many of us are taking advantage of that? So my challenge for you today, as we go into the new year, is a really simple one. Let's read more. And I'm not talking about the 1,000 books that I have on my bookshelf that I haven't opened, or that new fantasy novel that you got that you're really interested in, or that nice comic book about Batman. No, I'm talking about this word. This year, I am determined to read more. Read more of God. Get to know God more. Because this gets to reveal the entirety of his character, the entirety of who he is. I want to be able to say that I don't just read the word, but I know it. I do it. I live it out. So let's start by knowing it. Let's start by reading it. Let's start by looking in that mirror of the Bible and memorizing it, practicing it, studying it, knowing it. That's my simple challenge. So, dear God, I just come to you in prayer this morning. I thank you for all that you are, all who you are. I thank you that you gave us a cheat code to who you are. You gave us this amazing book that gives us access to you. This amazing book that reveals yourself to you, that brings correction, that gives guidance when needed. I thank you that we have access to it. So God, I just pray that we would begin to read it more, know it more, and in turn know you more. Pray this in your heavenly, mighty name. Amen.